review, which would be plus A plus BI, which is this. Okay, so we can add two normal numbers together, 4 plus 5, so we can add two complex numbers together. So we might have another complex number V equals C plus DI, and if we want to find out V plus V, we just add the real components together, A plus C, and then V plus and they're alive. So this is how we add two complex numbers together. Yep, exactly. So an example. That's addition of complex numbers. We can multiply two complex numbers together. So UV is U multiplied by V. And this is in your, this is in the notes. So standard, we just expand out the brackets or parentheses, which gives us A multiplied by C, A multiplied by BI, BCI from here, and this one's the only one's a little bit tricky, BD times, and we have I squared. So we know I squared, does anyone remember what that is? Great, yep, -1, so we just replace that. And -1, so you take the negative sign out the front, yep. So in front of the BD. Is everyone happy with that?
Yep.
Great, so we have this. So AC minus BD plus, and then AB plus BC. I. Just grouping those together, we have a common factor of I, so we can group those together. So this is what we end up with. So this is generally how you multiply two complex numbers together using the example UV equals, was it 3, 4i. Minus 3i, and what that gives you, so that's 3 multiplied by 2 gives you 6, that's minus 9i plus 8i, multiplying those two together, and here we have 4 by minus 3 gives us minus 12, so that's minus 12 multiplied by I squared. Use 6 minus 9i plus 8i gives us minus 1i, or just minus I. And then that's minus 1 there, so okay. So that's how you multiply them. Two more ideas. We can take, so you know vectors, you can take the magnitude of a vector. So if we have just an x direction and a y direction, we have a vector represented by an arrow here. We can find out the magnitude of that. So if that direct vector is sort of v, and a lot of people use very different notation for vector. Some people represent a vector by a line above there, or by a little squiggle there, or even a squiggle above. So, have you seen any either of those?
Yeah, I'll underline
it. You underline it?
I've prepared it, but I've seen it underlined.
Okay. Do you know what I'm talking about here?
Yeah.
Great, okay, that's all I care about. Great. Okay, so that's a vector. The magnitude is just really a measure of the length of this here. And so we can get basically the same thing for a complex number. So maybe if we draw them vectorially, so draw this, remember we have the graph with the real axis, and imaginary axis 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, and so we have the number 3 plus 4i, so 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 4, which gives us here 3, plus 4i. Okay, here. So we go across the way. Okay, so real axis, imaginary axis. So we can represent that. So this is a point that's this far away from the origin, this distance here. So if we want to find out the magnitude of that, that's like finding the magnitude of a vector here. And finding the magnitude of a vector here is just like finding this side length here. And if you want to do that, we use Pythagoras. So you might have an x coordinate here of x and a y coordinate here of y. And so to find out the magnitude of this is just the same as having a right angle triangle here. And we have the side length here of x and a side length here of y. And hopefully this is kind of looking a little bit like something that Michael drew up here. So we're going to find out what this side length is here. We might, let's call that h just to be consistent with what Michael did. And so you know x squared plus y squared equals h squared. And I guess, I guess if I were to, I'll change this to, to A and this to O. So we have O, A, and then A. Okay. So that's just Pythagoras' theorem. Okay, so that so therefore h is just equal to the square root of o squared plus a squared, so we can find that out. So that's the way we can find out the magnitude of this vector. And we use a special symbol for that, so... okay, so... so we represent the magnitude, so again... kind of jumping around a bit, but what we're going to look at is... So let's take a deep breath. So we're looking at just vectors, and we might want to find the magnitude of a vector. And then we'll see there's an analogous thing for finding the magnitude of a complex number. So we're kind of, I guess, forgetting about complex numbers just for the moment. And so if we have a vector v, and I guess I'll use this notation, if we want to find the magnitude of that, that's equal to this length. We can get this length just by a triangle here, it's equal to h. And by that, this is the theorem. Opposite adjacent, the sum of the squares, and take the square root of all of those, gives us this side length here. So it will actually give us this length here, which is equal to the magnitude of this vector. And so the magnitude of V, which is equivalent to just putting two vertical lines. So that's the notation we use, because obviously, again, magnitude is too big a word to write, so to represent the magnitude of V, that's, you see the two vertical lines? That's the magnitude of something. So we have, in this case, the magnitude of V is equal to, I guess it's opposite squared plus the adjacent squared, when you represent that vector just on a normal Cartesian x, y plot. So just to put in some numbers, you have a vector 1, you had a vector v here, and we had x-axis, y-axis, and it was 1 unit along, 2 units up, so an x component of 1, a y component of 2, then the magnitude of v would be equal to, well, just that side length, which is 1 squared plus 2 squared, the square root of all of that, which gives you the square root of 5. So that's vectors. We've forgotten about complex numbers for a minute. We've got the magnitude of the vector. So there's an analogous thing for complex numbers, because remember we can represent a complex number by this two-dimensional graph. And this is 1, 2, 3, 4. This is an I, 2i, 3i. Basically, we're just going to translate across from getting the magnitude of the vector to exactly what we had before. So to find the magnitude of this, if this number is u here, this is equal to the magnitude of u, and that's actually just equal to, in this case, it's 3 squared, 3 along there, plus 4 squared, and then the square root of that. Yes?
So the magnitude seems out to the value?
Yep. Absolutely. Did they use the term absolute value in the notes?
Yes.
Cool. Actually, good point. So the absolute value, so it is. So absolute value is the same. Yep, thank you for pointing that out. So in general, if you have a complex number u equals a plus the I, then the absolute value of the magnitude is equal to a squared plus b squared, and then the square root of all that. Finally, we have the complex conjugate of a number. So if you have this here, or I think they talk about the conjugate. So yeah, conjugate is defined as this, or just to put a little line over the top. And so to do that, say again, this is an incredibly, incredibly useful thing. We just switch the plus sign to a minus sign. So if u equals 3 plus 4i star, the conjugate is just 3. Minus 4i. So these are the four basic operations that we have for complex numbers. Okay, so we're going to learn two more things about complex numbers, but I've been doing some talking for a while, so we have some more questions for you. So you need to clear off the whiteboards and. Okay, so. I'm So this is another good opportunity for the teachers to have a look around and see how everyone is going. So you multiply by B, the absolute value of U, the absolute value of V, and then U complex conjugate or conjugate, and then V complex conjugate. And yeah, let's just add, why don't we add something else? So UV complex conjugate magnitude times V complex conjugate times U plus V magnitude. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
All over U.
Sorry?
So it's divided
by. Sorry, x is times, yes.
Magnitude of U is supposed to be
4i
squared?
No, it's actually not, because you just look at the. It's analogous to what you do for the vector, it's actually just look at the V value, just not the actual I, because I just gives you the direction. So here, finding the magnitude of this is exactly like finding out what you use on the triangle that we see 3 along and 4 up. So it's.
Is that? What if you have to find the magnitude and direction?
The magnitude and direction? You remember. And here we might be talking about polar coordinates, looking at how far away is away from the clock and how what angle or not. Then you need to find out this angle is here.
So you just use that.
Why? I mean, your eye comes into that because it's here. It's a complex number.
Yeah. But the vector of the
why? It's different. So you could graphically looking at them, they're exactly the same. But what they recommend is absolutely correct. We'll just focus on the first six now. Anything else is a bonus.
Thank you. I'm
Okay, 2 more minutes. As 2 root 5 or square root of 20. Yeah, yep, sounds good to me. A question 4, I have trouble with that one as well. Did someone say?
3 10?
Okay. Okay, great. Question 5. Plus two, great. Just okay, question 6. Okay, fantastic. This question?
Eight root 26 plus 4i root 26.
2 minus together.
Wait. Okay, we have. Okay, so we have.
That's probably right.
Hands up if you got a bad answer, or maybe something that. Okay, hands up if you have a different answer. My hands up if you.
I use U instead of V. When it says B, it's the E.
Right. Okay. So this is kind of a complex thing, but essentially, the way I'm doing it, if I were to give you any individual components of that, you'd be able to easily do them. So if I gave you figuring out what that is, that's not too difficult. If I ask you to figure out what that is, that's not too difficult. And figuring out what this is, that's not too difficult. And figuring out what the other one is, that's not too difficult. So if you figure out the individual components of them, I guess maybe I might do this. So, why not? So if you figure out U multiplied by V star, then that's what's U. So that's 4 minus 2i, V star is 1 minus 3i. I don't think the magnitude of that. So 4 multiplied by 1 gives us 4. Minus 2i multiplied by minus 3i, that gives us 6. The I squared is. Does anyone have a thing? Okay. Minus 2i minus 4 by minus 14. And then. Equals, and that's the square root of 2 squared plus 14 squared, which is whatever that is.
100.
Sorry?
100.
200. Oh, yeah, 200, of course. The square root of 200.
Yeah, of course.
The square root of 200. Okay, so that's the first part. We'll just draw a box around that. V star 1 minus 3i magnitude of U plus the magnitude of U plus V is magnitude of 4 plus 1 gives us 5 minus 2 plus 3 gives us 1. That's 5 squared plus 1 squared, which equals square root of 26. So, and the only thing we have found out is the denominator here. So, is the magnitude of U plus V, so that's 5. So there's minus, so it's plus minus 5i. The magnitude is 5 squared plus 5. squared, which equals the square root of 50. So if we put all those together, the only thing we're left with is 1 minus 3i, and then the rest of the other ones are magnitudes, and we have the square root of 200. What's that multiplied by the square root of 26 divided by the square root of 50, and then we just get our calculators out, and that gives us, what is it? 26, just doing it quickly in my head. Gives us that's the answer. Okay. So, what we've got, so we're going to do one last thing, and that'll pretty much have it done for today. So, okay, so okay, so 25 minutes. Okay, so what are we doing? Right. So, Michael, did you put all this formula up? You did. Okay. So. So Michael showed you Euler's formula. So we have E, this transcendental number, 2.71, whatever it is. And the exponent is I theta. And that's actually, it was not kind of obvious why
this happens.
Okay, but it's actually equal to cos theta plus I sine theta. And so having the I on the left-hand side and the right-hand side kind of makes sense,
obviously.
But it's a little bit strange that you have this here and that here. So we could actually prove that to you, but that would use up a lot of chalk. So so as an exercise, so we don't have any homework at all at this camp. No homework, but sorry. Home play, yeah, completely different than homework. So we don't have any homework, but there's some home play.
Is this like the survey test difference?
It's very similar. Yeah. It's very similar. So we're giving you some home play, and that is that's home play. And so if anyone does get that out, I think we might give a prize for that. And so what we'll do is, well, if there are more than one person who gets it, we'll put all their names in a hat. Thank you. And we'll draw one out, and then we'll get a prize. And the prize will be a Toblerone chocolate bar. And the other question is, why a Toblerone?
It's a prize for that also a Toblerone. And yes, why?
Yeah. Swiss. So there's a link to physics to the Toblerone chocolate bar. That's the question. Okay. So we have some more physics. So Michael talked about Cartesian graph, x, y, And we have any point we represent that by the ordered pair of the two coordinates x, y, z. But there's another way of representing it. And you briefly said, well, instead of knowing where it is we, and how far it is along here, and how much it is up there, we could say, well, we can represent it by how far it is along this distance, so how far it is away from me, or whatever you decide your origin to be. So we'll call that O the origin, and call this distance here R, just the letter R. And also, if I just tell you how far something is away from the origin, then that defines, and Michael talked about this, a circle. It doesn't uniquely define what the point is, because this point and that point, they're all the same distance away from the origin. So you need to give one more bit of information, and that is the angle around. And the angle around from the positive x-axis is theta there. And so if you, instead of define that point by its x and y coordinates, you can define it by its r and theta coordinates. And you can really, that is enough to uniquely define any point along this diagram. Any point in two-dimensional space can be defined by between the r and the theta. So it's basically, in a sense, we're just using a different language, a kind of different coordinate grid. So it's exactly the same point, we just have a different way of representing it. Kind of a little bit unusual, but it's very, very useful. And so we have this different language. So we want to translate between the two. Okay, so okay, 10 more minutes. Okay, I can't speak, and everyone can't hear, unless we have everyone being silent. Okay, so we have a triangle there, then we know this length here is the x-coordinate. This is the y coordinate. We have this distance here. So what we want to find out is relations between those. So say I know the x and the y coordinates, how do I find out the r coordinate? And so simple trigonometry is exactly what we did before. You just hypotenuse squared equals opposite squared plus adjacent squared. Pythagoras, that gives us r squared equals x squared plus y squared. So that's if we know the Cartesian coordinates, the xy coordinates, going from x, y, just transferring to the language r theta. And if we know x and y, how would we find out theta? Well, tan theta equals y divided by x. Therefore, theta is just the inverse tan of y divided by x there. So that's how we can translate from one coordinate to another. Mm-hmm. And also, if we know in theta, say, we want to go back the other way, so we can go from Cartesian to polar coordinates. If we know r and theta, how do we get back the other way? Well, what we can do is we want to find this, so we want to find that's like the adjacent. And this is like the opposite. So the way we can do it is finding, so this is equal to using gain sine Cantor. So R multiplied by sine theta he says y, and then r by x theta. Cos theta gives us x. So really that's getting from this way to this way, we have getting from the other way to the other way. So we have two different coordinate systems. So it's exactly the same point. There are just two different ways of specifying where it is. I can either tell Michael exactly where this point is by saying how far he has to go along here, and how far he has to go up here, or I can tell him, well, you need to go along this angle here, and then a certain distance along. And that gives you in terms of theta coordinates and then the r coordinate. So that's actually how you do it. So, why am I telling you this? Well, we know about Cartesian coordinates, and they're incredibly useful. They're also incredibly useful in quantum physics. So polar coordinates are as well, actually representing them. And so the last bit in the math primer, you can see is, the very last page is, just as you can do that with a number there, a point there, so you can draw one of these diagrams for real axis, imaginary axis, and we have a point which might be u plus a plus bi, so this is a general complex number, any point here. And what we can do is we can represent that by, that's in a sense is in Cartesian coordinates, that's representing how far it is along here and how high it is up there. So that's a. And that's there. B units up there. So this is what we have. But there's also another way of representing that. And that's by specifying again just how far we are away from the origin and the angle we are around here. So if we know what A and B are, we can just use this procedure here, so to find out what r is, and this procedure here to find out what theta is, to translate from a and b to r and theta. So it's how we find that out, what the value for r equals, which turns out to be the absolute value of u, and theta equals tan from minus 1 v divided by a like that. So this is what we find them out. So the only thing left is how do we actually represent our complex number in terms of r and theta. And so the way we do that, the very last bit is turns out that if you follow this procedure here, you start with this, the normal standard way of representing a complex number, a plus bi. So it's representing it by really the coordinates a and b. Just as we can go from a graph here, have these coordinates x and y, and we can translate those into r and theta, polar coordinates. We can do this. So we're exactly doing the analogous thing. We have this point here. We're going to go for representing in terms of A and B, to represent in terms of R and theta. And so, well, if we know A and B, how do we calculate R and theta? Well, this is really the magnitude you just use Pythagoras to get this. And we draw a triangle here, just use trigonometry to get this angle, because we have a right angle there, so I should have that actually maybe make things a bit clearer. So we have the right angle there. So we have this r and theta. And it's not kind of obvious, but I'll kind of justify it in a minute. But the way you kind of bundle them together, or actually put them together, is that is how you represent that. And that's the same u, which is equal to a plus bi. So long as we get the r from the a and the b, and the theta from the a and B. And so this kind of this should make actually get way you can see it makes sense. So remember we learned this formula that you've got to prove for your homework and then home play tonight. So if we believe this formula, we can get rid of the e to the I of theta and replace it by cos theta plus I sine theta. So this is equal to R cos theta plus sine theta. We'll put the I just at the bottom there. So that's equal to that. But if we have A here, then A is actually equal to cos theta just by Pythagoras' theorem, because the triangle that we do have is triangle with right angle there. This is R, this is A, this is B, this is theta. So just in that triangle, using the SOHCAHTOA, we have cos theta equals, what is it? It's adjacent over hypotenuse, which equals A divided by R. Therefore, A equals R cos theta. And so that, if A equals R cos theta, you can just make a substitution here, put in A here, and using a similar procedure, using just Pythagoras, that sine of theta is equal to B divided by R. Therefore, B equals R sine theta. And we have R sine theta there. That just equals B. And so what we've done is we've just gone back to the originals. So really what we've shown is if you represent u by R equals e to the I theta, you use the Euler's form, you expand it out, and you get this. But it turns out that here we've got kind of hidden in there A, and also hidden in there B. So we just, it comes back out again. So this just verifies that the two forms are actually equivalent to each other. So what we have is just as we can represent the one point over here by either xy coordinates or in the language of R theta coordinates, we can represent a complex number in this. This is called, actually, I think it's polar notation, is the term that's used, so it's polar. And so this is incredibly important in quantum physics. So for things like the double slit experiment, for understanding quantum computers, quantum teleportation, you need to understand this. So it might seem kind of abstract now, but you'll see in a couple of days time, example after example, where you have this. It's another way of representing it. So what I'll do is I'll just do one example, and I might end up there. Okay, so I'll give you a reference. So if we wanted to represent this in polar notation, what we would do is we're going to express it in this form here. So here A is 3, B is 3 from here. So the R is easy. R is equal to the square root of 3 squared plus 3 squared, so that just gives us 3 root 2 there. We calculate that. And so we have a triangle and it has a side length of 3 root 2, oops, right angle here, an angle 3. So what we need to do is, therefore the tan of theta equals 3 divided by 3 is equal to 1. So tan of theta equals 1. And so either we can plug that into our calculator, just doing it in my head, figuring it out to the 17th decimal place. Yep, that works out. That gives us theta equals 45 degrees 4, which is radians, pi over 4 radians, or just pi over 4, and it being kind of implicit that it's radians. So that's the angle we have, that's the theta angle. So therefore the answer is 2 to the I divided by 4. Oh, can you read that off? Yep. Yes.
Why is it that we never write the beginning usually?
Just I think because it's most well, I mean, just because it's one is most common as a standard thing. And also it's actually dimensionless, it's kind of, you can think of it as a ratio of two numbers, but it doesn't have any units.
It doesn't have any units, it's just real.
No, it's just, yeah, exactly. So yeah. So
maybe coefficient of friction kind of thing?
Yeah. So that'll give you home play 2. So that's one, we'll call it A, and B. Okay. You guys don't really need any sleep tonight, 16 years of age?
No.
Okay. So can I be like U plus B power
23?
Yeah, 23, that's good. Who said 23?
2006.
It's okay.
2006, someone said?
Yeah. Zero.
You might have been the one.
They can make it to 100 track photos.
Okay. So I was going to make it 3 or 4, but someone said 23, and I think that started the other people. I don't know who that person was.
I said 0.
But yeah, the person who said 23 came, whoever that was. So, okay, so does anyone, so that's a home play, does anyone have any questions about that, apart from what is the answer? Yes. Yes.
You want the R, E, I, theta thing?
Yes, yeah. That's what I mean, yes. Yeah. So polar notation is exactly that.
So you put the R value and the R value, and then you put the E, and then you put the I, and then you put the theta value, and then you just shove those in?
Exactly, yep.
Okay.
Yep, yes.
Is theta in radians or degrees?
Normally it's in radians. So that scant thing is put in radians.
Could put it in degrees.
I've never seen it. I put it in radians. Because you want to fit in with everyone else. You want people to understand what you're doing. Okay, so this is the end of day one. So it may not be obvious why I'm going to do this, but everything you've seen so far, you'll actually see many examples of that used in physics as we get on, as the week goes on. So we'll pack up this stuff and we'll quietly go down to the bus.